Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. I'm Carly Duke, and I am here with Caleb and Tobin, and actually in person, which we don't always do. What a treat!
It's great to see you all.
I'm also thankful that there's not a camera on me, so I don't have to be conscious of that as well.
Yeah, right, that's fair.
That's good.
That's fair. So today we are going to give you an update on Taylor Swift's new album that is releasing this week.
When do we put out our Taylor Swift like support podcast to go alongside
this? Yeah, that's fair. It's coming. Yeah. Stay tuned. We're also going to give a TikTok update and then talk about students who aren't on grade level. So we got some good stuff going, but Tobin, let's kick it off.
Please not.
With Tobin's trend.
Yeah. So for Tobin's trend this week, we obviously, again, we talk about Taylor Swift like every other week, it seems like at this point. So, but this is a big deal.
Mad.
Yeah. April 19th is the date that the Tortured Poets Department is releasing, which is just one of the, like, the title alone makes it different. Like, I said before we started recording that it would be really funny if this was like a slam poetry album or like a rap album. Like, and I think I would like that still, but
I think it would still crush.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
She announced it at the Grammys, which got a little bit of heat because then it made people think that she's trying to make it all about her. But I mean, that was kind of
maybe, probably. Yeah.
Kind of genius, also.
The world's already all about her, right? So,
I mean, if you're a tortured poet, like everything kind of like you know has to center around you, right?
It's true.
So,
part of the brand.
People assume that Joe Alwyn will be the villain or the main subject. That always cracks me up. The main subject, because the album is titled, could be a nod to the group text that Joe is part of called the Tortured Man Club. Carly, do you have more information about that? The Tortured Man Club?
Yeah, it's Joe. Okay, thank you, Caleb.
I'm here for all of you non-Swifties out there. I'm here for you.
So Joe Alwyn is Taylor Swift's most recent ex-boyfriend. Okay. So like before Travis Kelce, she dated Joe for, I'm not going to know the exact time, but years. Like this was.
What's his thing? Is he famous?
He's an actor. He's a British actor.
Oh, okay.
Fair. So, and they were apparently in love. They started dating like pre-COVID, but pre-Reputation. And so she's released some songs that people think are about him, but it is hypothesized that this whole album potentially will be about him and their breakup and all of that. So now Travis Kelce has said that he's listened to the album and he's a big fan. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how this one.
One of the best things about her doing the Taylor's versions is that she ends up bringing in other artists and friends. Mm-hmm. And so some of the featured artists on this one, because is this her second album that she's done post-production company, right?
I think Evermore and...
I guess that's true. She did that with the National, but that was still her own album. So she's kind of been doing this more and more, but like feels like this time she's being very pointed about bringing in specific people. Yes. She's bringing in Post Malone, who I love, you know, Grapevine native, and Florence and the Machine, which is one of my wife's favorite bands ever, and then she's incredible. So... info has been somewhat limited. So there's all this speculation. And of course the internet's gone crazy with all this stuff. So there's a lot of AI stuff. We talk a lot about AI on here, a lot of AI songs and lyrics saying that they're from the new album when it's really just people trying to get some clout. So
I saw one, it was so bad. Like it very obviously was not Taylor Swift, but it was about her relationship with Travis Kelce and something about footballs and touchdowns and people are trying to pass it off. Or I've seen like jokes on TikTok where people will take AI songs and like show their boyfriends or their husbands and be like, this is Taylor Swift's new song. And they're like, no way. And it's not, it is AI that people are using.
So there's going to be several versions. I've already pre-ordered the vinyl. I don't know if you have or not, but yeah, vinyl, digital album, obviously. And there's going to be a CD, which seems like that's kind of going out. And then for some reason, a cassette, which seems to be coming back. Is there a cassette? There's a cassette for this one, right?
It says that on her website, but you couldn't order it. So I'm kind of confused about that. Maybe
you have to get it with like in person with a friendship bracelet or something.
Yeah,
so. Maybe she doesn't want people to have like spoken word on a cassette tape, you know, if it comes out. And it's
I don't understand.
Album, like, okay.
This is totally a derail, but I don't understand why people are putting out cassettes now again. Like that was one of the worst mediums of music ever. And now we're going to go back to that.
So back.
They look cool.
Yeah, that's probably why.
For sure what but it is. I don't, Yeah, I don't get it.
I doubt the people even play them. You're probably right. They probably just have them.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay.
But I have heard that there are going to be other versions with different bonus tracks. So, like, if you buy one version, you'll get this bonus track. Yeah. If you buy another one,
which is genius and frustrating genius. All at the yes. same time. Because I am very much like an OCD, like, completionist. Like, if I get something, like, if I start a book series, I want to finish all of it. If I start collecting stuff, I want to collect all of it. And so, like, I've had to really restrain myself with the vinyls, especially because, like, Midnight's had like 8 of them.
Yeah. Because it's 9 o'clock.
Yeah. I guess was it 12 of them or 4? It was 4 of them. Because it was 4 quadrants. And I, like, it took all my energy not to, like, drop $120 and just buy 4 of the same stupid vinyl. But, you know, but then you, like, have to think through, like, do I want the pink one? Do I want the blue one? Do I want, mm-hmm. and so, like, that stresses me out. That's another trend that I don't think she's created that one, but she's definitely, like,
because you have the people that do buy all 4 of those vinyls.
Been a big player of that. Yes. So.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. So last thing for this, then we'll move on to Caleb's Corner. Like, what's your prediction for the album? Like, what do you think it's going to be, like, style wise or for both of you, really? But
that's such a great question because I can see it going back to more folklore ish. I can also see it staying in the Midnights.
Yes.
And Caleb knows what these mean. So I can see it going folky or I can see it being more pop. I almost wonder, though, if it's going to be, like, darker than what she usually does, potentially, or melancholy, maybe. But I don't know. She's done it all, so.
I have so many thoughts on this. I don't know where to start. I'm going to come out of left corner, okay?
You're the worst. Right field.
I'm thinking full metal, like, screamo
album. What if Caleb's going to be right?
I am. I know. Done a lot of research into this.
But if you have a Taylor Swift fan, this one is coming out this week. Something to note, I have seen that there are like 7 explicit songs on this album, so don't expect it to be a very clean
heavy metal.
I mean, fair. So something to talk about with your Taylor loving teen.
Right now we're going to move on to Caleb's Corner to give you guys an update on TikTok. To just kind of start off, we talk about TikTok a lot. If you're listening, you probably know what TikTok is. It's a I guess it would fall under social media app where, you know, people post videos and, you know, if you have TikTok, you know, the algorithm has you, you know, if you've probably fallen victim of doom scrolling and finding yourself like, oh, I've spent the past 30 minutes doing nothing. but recently a bill is passing through Congress that I'll get into just a little bit that all kind of stemmed out of this idea that like TikTok's getting huge. It's a large company. It's worth more than Coca-Cola and Netflix.
Wow.
It's currently priced around $268 billion. And it's owned by a Chinese company. And so like that's where the catch is. And going through Congress of like, you know, it's this huge form of medium that like has control and like, you know, they're stealing information on all of its users and that's going directly to China. And so I think it has politicians worried that it's in like Chinese hands. And here's some crazy stats for you. It's the most used app per day in America for an average of like 82 minutes.
I believe it.
It is double the second of Facebook, which is 41. So like it has less people than like Facebook and Instagram. I think there's like 167 million about of people using it, but they use it more. Like they stay on it longer. And so.
And it's younger generations, I would guess. So it has the likelihood to stay around
right
longer.
And so like all of this, like their worth, how many people use it, the fact that a Chinese company owns it, all forces this bill called the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act is what it's called. And it's basically telling TikTok.
It's a shorter name, first of all. That's what
I know. I'm like, don't even know what you'd acronym that as. I don't want to accidentally say like a bad word. trying to make that an acronym. But basically the point of this bill is like telling the company that owns TikTok that they have 180 days to sell it to an American company or it's going to be banned in America. So there's like a few people who have like, you know, business, well, people in America with a lot of money that are like, okay, I would probably bid on it, stuff like that. It's super interesting. Again, I don't think this company, if they do sell, well, they'll just strip it. You know, you're not getting the algorithm. You're basically just buying the name. And I think that's where the real value is for investors, is the algorithm is just so much better than I think like even Instagram and Facebook Reels, stuff like that.
I mean, but without even getting into politics of it, like, that's just a crazy, like, we went from, like, because how many big corporations that we deal with on a daily basis are actually still in America?
Right.
Or based in America or started in America. And it's just, it's a crazy, because, like, even when you're saying a Chinese-owned company, isn't it, like, half Singaporean, too? Because, like, the CEO is from Singapore. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that was one of the big viral things on TikTok about, you know, hey, this is our CEO. He's not Chinese. Right. He's Singaporean, you know? And like, it's wild how frantic it has politicians.
And like, to the, like, if you look at Facebook, Instagram, like, they had a big scandal with the privacy of, like, they're selling users' data.
Yes.
Like, they, like, straight up are selling it. And so it's like,
to be fair, like, they went after them. They went after Facebook and Instagram. But it's also like, we can't just say, hey, if you're not going to sell your company to an American, right. Like, it's just, it's wild to me that we're even having that conversation, right. But yeah, it's crazy.
And it gets crazier because it's going quick through legislation. Like, it's not just like, okay, you know, this will just get like bogged down in the slog. It like 50-0 vote to send it to the House, which like is super rare just in and of itself, like overwhelmingly unanimous. And then it passed through House of Representatives. And here's where it gets funny, is that TikTok sent a push notification to like all 170 million users to stop a TikTok shutdown. And like, here's what it said. Congress is planning a total ban of TikTok. Speak up now before your government strips 170 million Americans of their constitutional right to free expression. And calls started flooding in. Like, there was a button that was like, call now. Yeah. And so like, yeah,
it's like crazy. Did it give you a script? I feel like it gave you even like a script of like, probably. Here's what you can say. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And people started calling, like, all of these teens that probably have never cared about government in their lives are calling their
I mean,
their
teacher unions do that same thing. And that's, that's, to me, that's a, you know, a good skill to learn as a voter is what, no matter what part of the aisle you're on, like being able to speak well to your representatives and stuff like that. It's the bigger issue at all this stuff that it seems like every time we have this conversation and people miss the mark is, why don't we talk about how scary what the algorithms and apps are doing instead of where the app is coming from and who's owning the app. Like, I don't care about Mark Zuckerberg, you know, or the Singaporean CEO. I care about, why is this messing with so many people and why are we leaking data? Like, but we're not doing anything about that. We're just, you know, we're just getting mad about it. So
it, to me, like, it's just interesting, like, cause that scared the politicians even more, right? Cause they're like, okay, like they were able to equip and like get all of these people heated. And so I think it was after that, that it passed through the House quick. And so like, current update, as we stand, as of recording, it's kind of slowed down in the Senate, hasn't passed that yet. Joe Biden has said that if it hits his desk, he'll likely pass it. But to me, yeah, the interest here is like, I think just funny that it, you know, equipped all of these teens and younger people to call state reps. Cause there's another study that I was looking at that was like a 20,000 sample size of like people, but showed that like 60% of teens would rather give up their right to vote than to TikTok.
That's insane.
Like, they were like, maybe give me TikTok. Too right now. Like, I don't want to vote. Like,
I mean, listen, TikTok. Like, I get it. And also, this is why we don't have 15-year-olds voting. So.
It is valid. But, you know, I think, too, just funny and, you know, like you said, interesting of, like, a good skill of, like, okay, here's how you call if you care about something. Because, like we say, like, this generation does care about, you know, causes that they believe in, that they think are just. And so,
honestly, if you're a government teacher and are listening or care about this kind of stuff, this would be a fascinating thing to get your students to watch, because it will tell, like, teach them about the process of passing a bill and something that they actually care about and are more likely to keep up with, which could be a really cool conversation to
Schoolhouse
have with your
rocks not around anymore to do that. So
TikTok rocks. Well, speaking of school, let's get into talking about some grade stuff, because there is a, it just launched last week. It's Go Beyond Grades is a national campaign that's trying to help parents and teachers get kids on grade level, but they're actually launching that locally. So if you're in the Tarrant County area, they're launching like a local campaign to go along with that, but it's national. So no matter where you're listening from, this is something that can be helpful for you. But this site says that almost 90% of parents think that their kids are at grade level and only 50% actually are.
So whenever you say that, do you mean like they like age wise should be in ninth grade, but they're in eighth, or like they are where their age group is, but they're just behind academically?
It's both.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Both. But I think what this is mostly talking about is like students that are actually like if they were testing, or right, that they're actually testing where they should be testing, that they're not okay behind.
Or like yeah, reading levels, like yes, if they're in okay third grade, but their reading levels in a first grade yeah level, like that kind of stuff.
Yes, okay, it's mostly reading and math related when I was looking at it. But they're talking about, which is fair, parents often rely on report cards and grades, but that doesn't tell the whole story. Mm. So your student might be doing okay grade-wise, like a parent might be going, hey, my kid makes B's, we're fine, but they're actually really struggling, and they would have no idea if they're not talking to the teacher. And so this campaign is really trying to invite teachers and parents to talk to each other, to have conversation. According to teachers, they would say that parents would get a better idea of how their student is doing if they simply asked the teacher. Mm. And so I know that's not like super, I mean, for some of the students that we work with in teen life, they're not going to have parents who are going to go to bat for them yeah, and go yeah talk to the teachers. That's just unfortunately
right
where we're at. But I wanted to talk through some things that parents could do, but then maybe also some things that teachers could do to help with this. Mm. I know we've talked about that in the past too, and so I'll link other episodes. But if you go to this website, and I'll link it, gobeyondgrades.org. I had to double check myself. This website has resources for parents and for teachers. And so it really has some cool things. One of it is a readiness check on their website. So it'll walk you through what is expected for math and reading levels through eighth grade. So it's mostly for elementary and middle school okay students. But when I was looking at their website, they also had stuff for college. So like mm-hmm how to get financial aid and what that looks like. So, but if you especially have a younger student, you can go look at a readiness check and actually talk to your student about what's going on.
Well, and there's a reason for that too. Like if you, by the time you get to high school, if you're behind, like the percentages scientifically and research shows, it's a lot harder to catch up once you hit a certain level. And so that's why they're pressing the, you know, elementary to middle school age, is because okay like really like yeah if you're, because if you're in seventh grade and you're behind, like you still have time to catch up. But if you're in ninth, 10th, 11th grade, right, like this is going to be an issue for you unless you do a whole lot of intervention between now and graduation and into college, if you know, or trade school, wherever it may be.
And high school is probably the time whenever the grades start to reflect on yes the report cards more so than the
yeah. I mean, it's it, but again, it's not really, this is the thing that's kind of different about like why they say go beyond grades, is because the grades don't always reflect okay that right. Because like even in my oldest son's case, he's in ninth grade, and like there's a lot of times that I'm just like, I know you're not this good at, you know, English. Like, why do you have an A? Like, you know, why do you have a 97? And some of it is because like either, like it's not always teachers like issues. It just might be it's like the unit is easier that right 6 weeks, or like there's a lot of testing going on. So there's a lot of easier homework because they don't have the time to, or capacity to do the more in-depth stuff, because like really grades are just kind of like a fool's gold a lot of times for what's actually happening in a classroom. Or like, let's be blunt and honest. If you have a teacher that does not care about right a lot of things or their job, they might just be putting out fodder just so they don't have to deal with parents. Mm-hmm. And then again, staying blunt and honest, sometimes the path to least resistance with parents is to just have their kid have an A or a B. Right. So you don't have to deal with the garbage that parents come to schools yeah with sometimes too. And so like everybody has their faults in this scenario, but what's good about this Go Beyond Grades is that it's identifying a specific problem and saying, here's where the issue is, here's how to fix it.
Right.
Okay, we cool want to walk you through that.
Well, I have a feeling, I should have looked up a stat on this, but we are seeing this especially right now due to COVID. So due to the pandemic and shutting down, especially students that didn't have an active parent at home who could walk them through, you were seeing the effects of that years later of students who are behind. And so this is especially important right now, but really it's important to talk to your students. If you are a parent that's listening, ask how they feel about the work, not just about their grades. Are they struggling with assignments in class? Are they able to pay attention? Do they understand what the teacher's talking about? Have they talked to their teacher if they're struggling? I'm also going to link a PDF that has some ideas for questions to ask, especially if you're talking to your parent's teacher. And so if there's a red flag, if you're talking to your student, you're like, I'm not sure that they actually know what's going on. It's okay to talk to your parent's teacher. And I feel like we've talked about this in another podcast too, but they're there to help. And it's better to catch that early than at the very end of the school year, go, hey, why is my student failing and why didn't you help them?
Right.
Talk to them early and say, hey, they're struggling. What can we do to work together? What can I do to help them? And all of that. And then continue to check in. So if you're having a conversation with your student, don't just have it once and leave. Check in throughout the semester. Ask them how they're doing. You don't have to be overbearing, but try to come at it from a, hey, I just want to help you. I just want to make sure we're doing okay. Not, hey, why didn't you get an A on that test?
And like Tobin said, the units change, the material changes throughout the year. And so like, while they might not struggle with a certain type of, you know, unit or section, they might, you know, later on throughout the year. And so, yeah, I think it's important to continue to do that.
Well, and to, so we're talking about parents and teachers, but teens, if you're listening, like, do you also like can take ownership of this stuff, especially if you're on the older grades? Like, I tell my student, my teen all the time, like, I can only do so much because I'm not there every day.
Right.
And he's at the age now where it's like, you should be advocating for yourself in some ways, respectfully, obviously. But if you do, or if you are a teen or a student that does not have parents that show interest in this, or will, or don't have time to show interest in it, or maybe they just don't have the energy because of XYZ jobs, night jobs, whatever it may be, like, you can take ownership of this.
Yes.
Like, you can figure out a way to, like, you know, go to teachers. I tell students in teen life groups all the time that, like, even the worst teacher typically wants to help.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you go to a teacher and say, this is an area I want to get better in and I need some guidance, that they're going to help. And that's because that's why they're doing that job. And if they don't, then that's a different conversation. But if you go to a teacher, even if you've been the worst student and you say, I want to fix and be better, that's going to make them want to help you. And that's going to take you further anyway, because then they're going to give you more leeway when things are going bad and you're maybe you're overwhelmed and you can't turn stuff in. If you show that you're making an effort, teenager, they might give you more grace in that pattern too.
Yeah. I really like that. And it's a great practice for college because if you decide to go to college, your parent can't call your teacher.
Yeah, literally. It's against the law.
Yes, they cannot talk to them. And so this is great practice to go and advocate for yourself. And then finally, just to kind of wrap up quickly for teachers, it is so important to make connections outside of just parent conferences, outside of just calling them and letting them know, hey, your student is failing. But if there are little ways that you can check in, and I understand that you probably have a ton of students, especially if you're a middle school or high school teacher who has multiple sections, so you probably can't do that for everyone. But if you notice that you have some students who are struggling, try to also reach out to that parent outside of just, hey, they're not doing well. And when you're on the same team, your student will do better, and the parent will trust you in turn instead of the age old, you have no idea what you're talking about, not my student.
I'm pretty sure I've said this before. So teachers and counselors that are listening, it goes a long way if you take time out of your week once a week to send a quick, hey, I'm just so thankful for your student, or hey, your students did this really well this week. And like, it used to be phone calls, but that's kind of like outdated and hard to do these days. But there's so many resources with email and Remind app and other apps that you can just send a quick text. Because if I'm a parent and I'm only talking to you as a teacher whenever it's bad news, then it makes it feel like a one-sided bad relationship. And so, like, I know that y'all know this if you're listening, but like, just kind of making an effort every week. Like, I used to set a calendar appointment in my school calendar to like email five parents every every Monday morning and just doing something like that, where that way when you do have to go drop a heavy, you've already kind of given them, you know, a scope of, hey, I'm here for both sides. I'm here to be a good support for your student, but also like I need you to help me out here. And so, yeah, I just think that that'll help you with parent conversations in the long run.
Yeah. And that really just goes into that at the Teen Life Podcast, we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved. But we want you to have positive conversation, positive interaction, and connect better with the students that are in your circle. And so we hope that you subscribe on YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts, so that you don't miss the episodes that we have coming up. Share this with a friend. But we will see y'all next week on the next podcast episode.